from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Tim Murray is the host of VSiN Primetime, airing weeknights from 5 until 8 local time. Also the host of the VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast. He's on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Tim, have you had a look at ESPN's new FPI analytics?
I took a gander. Is there anything egregious?
Well, it's not even necessarily egregious, because, I mean, in the end, they're a power rating. Yep. So I got, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get all that offended, but there were a couple of things that took me by surprise. ESPN FPI, not as high on Ole Miss. They have them down at 16. Most of the other things I've been seeing somewhere in that like 7 to 10 range. Kind of that's where they've been.
I think Bill Conley has them
at 8, I believe.
7 to 10 range too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee higher on Tennessee and Oklahoma. They have Oklahoma at 8, Tennessee at 9. And then the other thing was a little surprising. They have Ohio State down at 4, but, you know, if you're in that, to me, like, I kind of think it's, I have Georgia, Ohio State, Texas in kind of a tier 1, and then I have Oregon, but they have Oregon at 2.
Yeah, I'm of the Georgia, Ohio State tier. It's a little bit of a space. I got Oregon 3, Texas 4. And then I think there's that kind of significant drop off.
Yeah.
I mean, not significant,
but like, to me,
but there's a little bit of a drop off after that.
I feel like what we've seen in the last few years, particularly in the portal era, teams like 5 through 15 are all kind of the same. It's just a matter of like who ends up, like they separated themselves by like who ends up kind of winning more toss ups.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I mean, it's going to be fascinating this year. I mean, you know, I've been talking about it for the past month as I just started the podcast back up, getting ready for the offseason. I mean, you look at some of these schedules. I mean, some of these schedules, even Georgia, who is, you know, for SEC standards, has had some kind of pretty easy schedules last year in particular. But this year they go to Texas, they go to Alabama. You know, they open up the season with a neutral site against Clemson.
Air quotes.
You know, I mean, neutral site, but they're a 2-touchdown favorite there. But yeah, I mean, some of these schedules are daunting. I mean, they're absolutely brutal. You know, USC, I don't know what they're going to be, but their schedule is absolutely a gauntlet. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this year plays out and how the committee looks at SEC teams, the Big Ten, versus the Big 12, right? The Big 12 has got a bunch of, I think, solid teams. I think the Big 12 betting market is really intriguing because, you know, Utah is the favorite, but you could really make a case for Kansas State. You could make a case for Oklahoma State, who's at 12-1. I'm not going to make a case for Colorado. Someone probably will.
I mean, what is Arizona?
Arizona brings up Noah Fifita. Obviously, they have a new head coach, but you know Brent Brennan has done a really good job when it's not bowl season.
A place in San Jose State that is brutal to win at.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, my guy Kenny Amatalolo, I'm wishing him the best, but that's going to be a really challenging task this year when you look at returning production for the old Spartans. I think they're bottom 4 in the country in returning production. So, no, I think the Big 12, you know, when you think about these broader discussions of like, all right, the Big 12 is, I think, at a great spot from this standpoint. They're going to get a bye. Like, that's huge. Like, the winner of the Big 12 is going to get a bye. But are they going to get a second team in? Right? Is this a conference that's going to cannibalize itself where everybody's got 3 losses and they just get the number four spot and then nobody else. Like, it's going to be so interesting. And, you know, from a betting standpoint, right, there's markets of to make or miss the playoff.
Yeah.
And you could get really, you know, there's a lot of interesting odds out there. But, like, I don't know what they're going to think of the Big 12, what they're going to think of the ACC this year. So it's really interesting when you think about the teams that are being added to, you know, the SEC, obviously Oklahoma and Texas, Texas being a preseason top four team. Then you think about Oregon getting added to the Big 10. They're a preseason top three team. And then I think about, too, like, we just mentioned the top four teams of the country. They're from the same, they're from two conferences, Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas. Two of those teams are not getting byes. Two of those teams, at minimum, are playing on December 21st. Like, that's going to be wild when you think about an ACC team, whoever that's going to be, whether it be Florida State, Miami, Clemson, whoever, and then a Big 12 team are going to be rated higher than Ohio State and Texas or Oregon and Georgia. I mean, that's going to be really, really interesting.
Well, I think, like, to your point, okay, I find it hard to believe the Big 12 gets a second team in because
I don't think they do.
Most likely, whoever
they're going to eat each other, man. They're going to eat each other up this year, too.
Well, and then, you know, you'll be in a situation where the team that you're taking would have just played likely the Big 12, the Big 12 title game and lost. Yep. And, like, it's like, I feel like they're just going to view that more or less as a, hey, you know, whoever wins this gets in. But then I'm kind of with you. Aren't we doing the exact same thing with the ACC?
I think the ACC could be different if it's like, you know, 10-2 Clemson versus 11-1 Florida State or something like that. But there's a possibility. I mean, Florida State's got a road trip to Notre Dame in November. Clemson has got that opener against Georgia. Miami inevitably will lose games that they're not supposed to lose because that's just what Mario Cristobal does. So, yeah, you're going to have an ACC champ more than likely with a couple of losses. And I know last year was an unusual circumstance with Jordan Travis getting hurt. But, you know, you just saw an ACC team that was undefeated get left out of the college football playoff, the top four. So, yeah, I think, you know, that 10-11 spot is going to be really interesting, especially if teams like NC State and Virginia Tech, who are kind of these lurking top 25 teams with a lot of production coming back. And, you know, NC State's got Grayson McCall coming in as QB. You know, SMU, you guys know it, in AAC land. They won that conference last year. How are they going to fare this year in the ACC? I don't think it's the craziest thing to say that the Big 12 and the ACC will get a top four team and then no other teams. I think the ACC certainly is more likely to get two than the Big 12. But, I mean, you look at the odds right now. I mean, for the Big 12, Utah, Kansas State, Kansas, Arizona, Iowa State, Oklahoma State. If you told me any of those teams won that conference, I'd be like, yeah, I could see it.
Well, and they're also now, they're kind of doing the Pac-12 thing where it's like now with the schools they've added, there's some like brutal road trips in that league.
Like going to UCF. Utah plays UCF on a short week, I think. They play on Black Friday down in Orlando. Like that's really a pretty brutal road trip, right? So
I mean, that's what, a five-hour flight?
Yeah. And you're going from elevation down to, I mean, it won't be humid. It'll be November. But, yeah, I mean, and UCF's a team that they bring in KJ Jefferson. You know, you folks in your area know a little bit about KJ Jefferson. Like him and Gus Malzahn's system. I mean, UCF could be dangerous too, man. UCF plays at Florida in October. Like, Sunbelt Billy better be ready for that one because, I mean, the heat's already going to be up. By the way, speaking of Florida, just a quick aside, I don't know if we've talked about them here, but Bill Gondley pointed this out. I thought it was just incredible what he said, where he said the average top five team would win 9 games against Florida's schedule. The average top five team would win 9 games against their schedule. They might have the hardest schedule in the history of college football.
Well, and then you pile that on top of the fact
they play 9 top 25 teams in the S&P Plus, and they're not very good.
Well, and, you know, it's getting kind of weird with Napier.
Yeah, you got the Jaden Rashada thing going on. Like, how does Florida, if they lose to Miami week one, I mean, when does he get fired?
Does he make it to November?
Probably not.
I mean, I guess
they have to win that game against Miami. They have to win that game. And even if they win that game, I don't think they're getting to a bowl game. Like, their schedule, their November, like, I want to put this into perspective for folks because I know it's early and people aren't really thinking about, like, random SEC teams' schedules. Their month of November is something that you would make in college football, the video game. Georgia, number one. Texas, number four. LSU, top 15. Ole Miss, top 10. At Florida State, top 15. That is their month of November. Prior to that, Kentucky at Tennessee. I mean, it's absolutely
brutal. How did that
brutal
UCF game get on the schedule?
Yeah. And the last time they played UCF, they played them in a bowl game, and UCF beat them up, if I remember correctly. A couple years ago.
That was like
the Gasparilla Bowl, right?
Yeah, it was the Gasparilla Bowl. That was also like Mullen had been fired. Remember, they somehow talked who was our boy? He ended up playing at Cincinnati last year, played at Arizona State maybe. Everett, what was that guy's name? Had the dreads. But remember, like, they were remember Mullen, like, Mullen's big problem was he was mainly playing that guy and not playing Richardson, and everybody, all the fans were just upset. God, he finished.
Emory Jones,
that's it.
Found it.
And they had gotten him. They had something like 47 scholarship guys not playing, and they'd somehow talked him into, despite the fact he was in the portal, he played that game. But I mean,
it's almost like this schedule was made by an athletic director, and I know it wasn't because it's just kind of luck of the draw or whatever. But it's almost like, hey Billy, good luck in year three. We're gonna fire you. Like, well, they play nine top 25 teams.
Not only that, they're only...
And UCF isn't one of them.
Their only guaranteed win is Samford.
Yes. Because the easiest SEC team they play is Mississippi State, and they're playing them
on the road
in Stark Vegas with the Cowbells. Like, they're an underdog in week one. They should beat Samford. They'll be a home underdog to Texas A&M. They'll probably be a road favorite at Mississippi State. They'll be a home favorite against UCF, but that's going to be UCF's Super Bowl. Then you're at Tennessee, massive dog. Home to Kentucky, probably an underdog. And then the last five games, you're a dog. I mean, you're a 22-point underdog at a neutral against Georgia.
Yeah, I don't...
Good luck, Sunbelt Billy.
I mean, this was something Topmeyer and I were talking
about. The win total's five. Like, I don't know how they get to six. Like,
I mean, the win total's five. That's smash the under.
Yeah, because here's the thing with win totals, right? You're not playing for a push, but at least I've got the push possibility. And that's the biggest thing, too, as a little PSA, if you're going to get involved in win totals, please, please, please. I know, like, you think about a point here, a point there when it comes to a point spread, right?
Yeah.
What's the big deal? Like, a half win is enormous. So don't be like, well, it's just easy. Like, DraftKings has 4.5 for Florida. There are fives out there. I know for a fact there are fives out there. So if you want Florida under, go get the five. If you want Florida over, go get the 4.5. Like, you have to look around. There actually are discrepancies at sportsbooks all over the place in win total markets. So please look around. Like, I know... I just had Bruce Feldman on the podcast, right? He liked Notre Dame under 10.5, and there's a 10.5 at FanDuel, but DraftKings and a couple other shops is 10. Make sure you get the 10.5. You'll pay extra juice, but it's worth it. Like, a professional sports bettor told me that he rates a half win worth 70 cents in the betting market.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, the other thing, like, when you're going through all this, it's like, I mean, I guess when I'm sitting there thinking about it for Florida and for these other teams, like, what is the path to what is the path there for Florida? It's like, okay,
you beat Miami, you beat Samford, you got a little momentum going. Who knows what Texas A&M's going to be? Maybe they lose to Notre Dame. Elko doesn't have it buttoned up. They beat Texas A&M. They beat Mississippi State. Like, there's a path to 5-0 for Florida. It is very unlikely, in my opinion, because I think Texas A&M is going to be good. I just hope they are good later in the year so Notre Dame can beat them in week one. But I think Connor Wegman is kind of flying under the radar a little bit.
I think he's pretty good. I know
he is good. And I think Colin Klein is a good offensive coordinator. Like, I like what they have. They've got a lot of turnover. But, I mean, hell, man, Elko was able to figure it out at Duke. I mean, the dudes he's got at Texas A&M, even the ones that stayed, are pretty talented. They were a top five portal team. Now, they lost a lot to the portal, right? They lost the kid Stewart to Oregon.
Yeah.
They lost the big boy to Ole Miss, right? The defensive lineman. The
defensive tackle.
Yeah, so they lost big pieces. Like, I think two or three of the best portal, Stewart and the guy whose name's escaped me and went to Ole Miss, like, they were two of the best five players in the portal. So they lost a lot of talent, but I think Texas A&M's going to end up being pretty good. So I'm hoping they're not fully buttoned up week one.
Well, Walter Nolan.
Yes.
He actually played locally here. He's
a beast.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that when he's motivated and you watch him, you're like, good God, he is a stud. All right, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, because I do think it's interesting. The committee will say, last year has no impact. There's no way Liberty, like, that's going to get held against them, right?
It should. And I know bowl games, for the most part shouldn't matter, but that game where they got embarrassed by Oregon should count. Because here's the thing, and this ties in locally with you guys, right? Memphis and Boise State, in my opinion, are the two best G5 teams entering the year. Now, will it play out that way? Who knows? But I look at Memphis's schedule, and I look at Boise State's schedule, and then I look at Liberty's schedule, and I'm like, these ain't the same, man.
Right.
Like, Memphis plays Florida State. Hello. They also play USF on the road. Like, Memphis, the AAC did them no favors this year.
So that's
at USF, at UTSA, at Tulane. Go ahead.
In fairness, it was kind of by request. So Memphis is redoing their stadium. They asked to have the schedule more loaded towards next year for a home schedule. But the next three best teams. Yes, all on the road.
All on the road. You get Tulane on Thanksgiving, which is kind of cool. I think that's a cool opportunity for Memphis and Tulane to play on Thanksgiving night to flop with the Egg Bowl. So it'll be head to head with Packers,
Dolphins, right?
Yeah, I think so. And then Boise State, they go to Oregon. Hello.
Also open the year. This is like a sneaky. They're open the year at Georgia Southern on the road.
Yeah. And then they play both Washington State and Oregon State on the road. So in addition to the fact that they play Mountain West, or hold on, I messed that up. They flipped it. All right, they have both Washington State and Oregon State at home, excuse me. But, I mean, and they play UNLV, who should be pretty good again. Like, it's not comparable. Liberty has the easiest schedule in the country.
I mean, basically, the only thing they did is this year they
go to App State.
They're playing App, but their schedule last year was just an absolute cupcake.
New Mexico State's going to be worse, a lot worse.
Yeah,
smoked New Mexico State last year.
I only believe in New Mexico State if Jerry Kill's on the sideline.
So, do you believe in Vanderbilt?
No, he's got to be the head guy.
I don't even if he was the head guy, I don't know if I believe they got Diego Pavia now. But like, Liberty is going to go 13-0, more than likely. They could lose to App State, and I think if they lose to App State, they're cooked. But it's going to be really interesting when you talk about the discussion we had with the Big 12 and the ACC's second team. The G5 discussion is going to be fascinating because the Mountain West and the AAC are so much better than the CUSA. And I felt like last year, they were like, whatever, who cares? No one's going to care about SMU getting screwed over against Liberty.
They're even switching leagues.
Right. It's like, who cares? Whatever. It's like, SMU is a far superior team to Liberty. But Liberty got in, and they got destroyed. And they bring back a lot of those pieces. Salter's still there, their quarterback. Like, The AAC and the Mountain West have got to be are going to be very frustrated if Liberty just says, "Yeah, we're going to play nobody and we're going to get the 12th spot." It's going to be really, really interesting. Hopefully, the committee holds it against them for not challenging themselves, because I mean, Boise State goes on the road to play the third best team in the country week two on Peacock, by the way,
Streaming live.
Yeah, and then Memphis has got a really challenging conference schedule, and they play Florida State on the road. By the way, you know how my mind works. They play Florida State September 14th. Then they go to Navy.
Yeah,
Navy will be coming off a bye. Oh, give me those points.
That's Connor's trap game special. Is that Navy better again though?
I don't know. I think they'll be better than last year. By the way, they almost beat Memphis last year.
They scared the crap out of them. I mean, we just talked about it. Like they had the ball at like the 12.
Yeah.
With a chance to take the lead. Like, that's the other thing. All right, before we let you go.
Yeah.
Allegedly, the NBA Finals is going to start some point this week. I don't know. I keep waiting.
Maybe.
At some point, it's supposed to start. I keep doing this move of, can we just not figure out Dallas? Because it feels like every time they're undervalued. This would be, if Dallas were to win, I believe it's third biggest underdog to win a series.
I put it up too, you know, at one. Tim Murray.
Thank you.
Big deal. Yeah. Yes, third biggest upset in recent history. I only had the dates going back to 1988, but it would be the third biggest upset in NBA Finals since 1988. The ones that were bigger, the Pistons in 04 were 4-1 or 5-1 underdogs against the Lakers, and then the Raptors, when the Warriors got hurt, were +230. I mean, to put this into perspective, the Mavericks this year are bigger underdogs than they were in 2011 when they beat the Heatles. Like, that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
And I don't think people recognize that. And while I imagine there's a lot of people tantalized by the +190, I'm on the Celtics. I think they're better. I think they're deeper. Luka's amazing. He's the best player in the series. You know, if you want to bet the Mavericks, just bet Luka to win MVP of the NBA Finals. You get like an extra 20, 30 cents on the price. But what I did was I didn't want to lay the 220 because I certainly could see an avenue for the Mavericks to win. I think it's definitely possible. I thought about laying it 1.5, meaning that they had to win the Celtics in 4-6 games. But ultimately what I did was I did it's called a double outcome. So at DraftKings, you can bet the Celtics to win game one and to win the series, and that's -130. So that's the way I rolled. I think Kristaps Porzingis coming back healthy is a massive, massive advantage. And I think it spreads out the Mavericks a little bit more, opens things up more. And, you know, Luka, they got to just kind of pawn him off on like Jaden McDaniels last series or whatever. They can't do that this series. So I think the Celtics win this series. I'll say in six, but that was the way I bet it, was Celtics win game one on Thursday and then win the series at -130.
Tim, we appreciate it, buddy.
All right, man. See you, dude.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.